You're listening to episode 331 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Hey everyone, welcome back to this second episode of season 6 of the podcast. Welcome back to this second episode of the year 2022. And I have some news. My oldest daughter tested positive for COVID this morning. We're pretty sure she got it from school. It's going pretty crazy in her school right now. And so here we are. Hello from quarantine. And it's funny because that test came in this morning, and I was, previous to that, planning on recording this exact episode, but now it feels even more necessary. I mean, selfishly, I need this episode. But because COVID is so crazy right now, and because many of us are still in the position of working from home, I really hope this episode lands well with you as well. I hope it's something that benefits you as well. Today, we are talking about designing your work from home life. So we're going to use some life design. We're going to think through some of the factors that are challenging for us when we're working from home, especially exclusively as I will be for the next, at least 2 weeks. We'll see how it goes. But there are some things that we can do to make this experience go a bit more smoothly and feel more aligned. And so that's what I want to talk about on today's episode. One quick update or one quick thing to note. I'm going to be talking about some resources, tips, things that I like in terms of just the way that I organize my work from home life. And so there's maybe a lot more links in this episode description than there typically are in a normal episode. I put them in there just in case you're curious about any of these products. These are things that I use or maybe resources on the web that I go to. So I just linked them up there just in case they are useful. If not, whatever, you don't have to click on them. But if you are interested, they're in there to make it easy. And last, I want to issue a little challenge. One of my goals in 2022 is to increase the number of reviews that the podcast has. So I have a little deal for you. The first 3 people to review the podcast after this episode comes out will get a free 30-minute intensive life design session with me. All you have to do is leave a rating and a review on the podcast, take a screenshot of it, and send it to info@peakmindpsychology.com. I'll link that below in the episode description as well. So write me a rating and a review, take a screenshot of it, send it to info@peakmindpsychology.com. And if you are one of the first 3 people to do so, you'll get a free 30-minute intensive life design session with me. So excited. Okay, let's get into this episode. All right, so I've been hearing this funny way of thinking about COVID going around. People are talking about it as though it is like a Netflix series. Like, we are officially in season, we're officially in season 3 of COVID. And each season has had a little bit of a different flavor to it. And I'm assuming that 2022's season of COVID will be no different. But here we are entering this season 3, and I'm back in quarantine. Many of you are still working from home, which means if you're not feeling like it's going as well as it could or things are as aligned as they could be, this is when we pull in tools from life design. The first thing that I want you to think about before we get into a few of the areas, I'm going to actually run through a few specific sets of areas. I think I've got, 4 of them here that I want to make sure that we hit today. Before we get into those specifics, I want to start with something that is grounding. So in life design, no matter what it is that we're designing, the first thing we always want to do is get to know the user, And the user in this case is you. So life design, one of the ways that it was created for those of you who are new to the field is it came from a process in the typical design world, the design world that creates products and services that consumers buy, things like the Instant Pot and the iPhone. That design process is called human-centered design. So let's take the Instant Pot. It's my favorite one to pick on. The Instant Pot was created for a set of people in particular. It was created for really busy moms who want to create delicious, healthy meals for their family, but they don't have time to create anything elaborate and don't want to generate a whole bunch of dishes that they have to clean up. So the makers of the Instant Pot sat down and they thought, okay, let's think about her, that busy mom. Let's give her a name. What's her name? Maybe her name is Sarah. And let's think about her life and what does she need? What does she need in her life? What are her goals? What are her values? What are the barriers to her achieving those goals and living into those values? What would make her happy? What would add to her stress? And once they got to know her really well, they designed a product around her. And when you do this, you end up with a product that people adore because it was designed for them. So there is a reason why there are blogs and blogs out there about Instant Pots and Instant Pot recipes. It's because people adore the product because it was designed for them. But in your life, it's actually much more simple. We don't have to design for a whole bunch of different busy moms. In this case, we don't have a whole bunch of users. We have one. It's you. You are the main user of your life, and it's you who we need to get to know. So in this initial step, the thing I want you to think about is in your work from home life, what's important to you? What is it important to you to have as components in that life? How do you want that life to feel? What activities are important? What are the ways in which you want to show up or the ways of being that you want to exhibit in that life? And I want you to spend some time on this step. Get to know it, think about it. So I'm going to use my example that literally came up this morning that I did not think I didn't plan to do, but it's a perfect example. My daughter tested positive for COVID today, and so I'm thinking about, okay, over the next couple of weeks, what do I want this couple of weeks to feel like? What are the components of it that are going to be important? And there's a few. You know, I still have work obligations and responsibilities and deliverables that I need to execute on. And the level of care that I put into them is important to me. So being able to get things to my clients in a timely fashion is important. That doesn't mean it's the same timely fashion as it would have been before, but it does mean that I might need to do some communicating and working with my clients because they are important to me. Simultaneously, it's important to me that my daughter stays engaged with her schoolwork. She's actually basically asymptomatic, so she's feeling great. So we're going to spend some time, and one of the core things that's important to me during this time period is spending some dedicated time with her on her schoolwork. Is it going to be the same amount that she got before? Nope, definitely not. But am I going to make an effort to make some of that happen? You bet. Additionally, a little bit of spaciousness and a little bit of self-care is important to me. Making sure that my basic needs are met and that I have a little bit of space to myself, even if it's just a few moments. And those are just mine, but I want you to sit and think about what are the things that are important to you during this time? And just jot a few notes down and have those with you as you go through the rest of this episode, because I think it's really going to help as you think about the answers to these areas that you come up with. So like I said, we're going to talk about four specific areas. And the first one that I want to dive into is your actual physical workspace. how might you set up your physical workspace in order to help facilitate the goals that we talked about just a moment ago? So whichever goals you came up with, whichever things of importance you came up with, how might you set up your physical workspace in order to help you achieve those goals or feel in alignment with that feeling that you want to have? So for me, I need space in order to do my work. And so I have a designated space that I'm working in, and it's not necessarily the same space each day, but I do designate a space that I'm going to work that day. And that helps me by kind of sectioning off the house. So I know when I'm in that space, I'm at work, and when I'm not in that space, I'm not. And that helps me create that delineation between I'm working on my clients versus I'm giving myself some self-care space versus I'm helping my daughter with her schoolwork. It's just sort of a geographic or location-based way of me sectioning off where I might, or you know, what set of activities I'm actually doing. Psychologically, I'm in the space where I'm working. Second, in this time, because we tend to juggle a lot when we're working from home, we tend to get distracted a lot, removing those distractions is highly important. So it may be things like that pile of laundry, it needs to go somewhere else because you're going to look at it and you're going to be tempted to do that instead of the work that you want to do. And you'll notice laundry did not show up on my things that are important to me during this time. So think about the things that are likely to distract you from those areas of importance and work to remove those distractions from your physical workspace. And the last thing, and this is crazily enough, one of my favorites. How might you, very life design question, how might you create small nuggets of joy in your physical workspace? I'm going to give an example. I'm picking up a pen right now. I've got this pen. It's made by the company Tuel, T-U-L. All of these pens that I buy, I only buy one kind of pen. I buy the same big pack of pens every single time so that no matter which pen I pull out of my pencil cup, it looks exactly like this. And they are white and beautiful. They have like a gold or a rose gold or a silver color to the metal. The grippy part where you hold like close to the ballpoint, the rubbery part, that's either like a pink or a blush color or a white. They're just pretty. They're so pretty. Now, could I write with any ballpoint pen? Yeah, totally could. But these pens, I'm just going to be honest, they make me feel a little fancy when I pick it up. They make me feel like a little bit elegant when I pick it up. It's not any different than any other pen. Any other pen would do the job. But going back to what's important to me, having like elements of self-care and elements that are just for me in my day, that's important. And a small element like this, where I'm grabbing a pen 24 times a day, it's just an element of like, oh, that's really nice. And a bunch of, oh, that's really nices, add up to a really nice day. So think about small nuggets of joy that you might add to your workspace that could just create a slight elevation in your experience so that if you have to be there, if you have to be working from home, if you have to juggle things, give yourself just that little bit of like, oh, that's really nice. How might you create that in your physical workspace? Okay, so that was setting up your physical workspace. And these are just examples that I came up with that are helpful for me, but ask yourself the life design question of how might I set up my workspace in order to help facilitate the goals that I have, point me in the direction of the things that are important during this time, and point me away from the things that are just not important that might be distracting. Okay, second one, creating boundaries in your day. How easy is it now that we're working from home to have work bleeding over into family time, family bleeding into work time, leisure becomes almost non-existent because it's just so easy to pop back into work. Part of the reason why I designate a space to work each day is because of this. So that physical location boundary, that really helps. But there's some other pieces, and these are more like temporal or ways of marking time in your day in order to help you out. So one example, figure out what your beginning and end time to your day is and stick to it, even if it's hard. Even if you're caught up in something, you know how on your iPhone you can set a bedtime reminder? So I actually go to bed at 10 every night. I get up at 5 in the morning. I have kids. I need time to myself in the morning. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But I go to bed at 10 every night. And so at 9:15, my phone says, hello, it's time to go to bed. It's time to start winding down. You gotta make this happen. Maybe you need a reminder like that 45 minutes before your end time so that you don't pick up something new or you start wrapping up and doing that tie-up stuff that you need to do in order to sort of put a punctuation mark at the end of your day. Maybe that's what you need to do. But the point is, set that beginning and end time to your day so that you know when you're, quote, done and can walk away from that physical designated space that you're working in that day and know that, nope, it's no longer work time. Second, I hope you caught last week's episode, the January 5th episode that went out. This was all about 5 life-changing practices that you can implement in your life. And then underneath each practice, I gave you 5 ways of implementing that practice. We talked about boundaries in that episode as well. So go back and listen to it if you didn't. There's also a free guide that accompanies that episode that you can download at peakmindpsychology.com/5practices. In that guide is a template for setting an email autoresponder. That's my second tip here in creating boundaries in your day. You can't control other people's behavior. You can't control if they're going to check their email all day long. What you can do is use an email autoresponder during the times when you are, quote, not working in order to nicely, cordially, gently remind people that you are off the clock at that time. You could even include some pieces in there about what you value and why. Hey, during this time, my kid is home with me, and one of the things that's important to me is making sure that she doesn't fall behind in school. And so I'm spending my evenings really focusing on family, or whatever the case may be. Not only does that communicate a boundary to other people, but it also sets a really great example for them. So consider setting an autoresponder outside of the beginning and end times of your day. And again, go back to peakmindpsychology.com/5practices to download the guide from last week's episode. Give that episode a listen, and you can get a template for actually setting one of those autoresponders. Okay, third tip under setting boundaries in your day. Something that I love to do at the end of my day. So let's say you've taken my iPhone suggestion and it tells you, okay, in 45 minutes, it's technically the end of your day. As much as possible, I don't make it on every single day, but man, does the day go better when I do. I perform what I call a transition activity. This is something that takes the place of where your commute would normally be if we were working in, you know, pre-COVID days. It sort of tells your mind, okay, I'm done for the day. Sometimes this means I go for a walk. It might mean that I work out. It might mean that I meditate. It might mean that I even unload the dishwasher. There's just an activity that I do at the end of my workday that just marks I am done now. Work is done, and I am about to transition into family time. So the point of that transition activity, and try some of them on for size, right? Life design is about experimenting. Experiment with a number of them and see what works for you. Physical activity works the best for me. Specifically, running works the best for me. That doesn't happen every day, but figure out what works best for you and try to get that transition activity in as many days as you can. You'll find that your day runs so much more smoothly. And the last piece is keep a really good planner. I talk about this like crazy. I'm literally picking it up right now because it's never more than an arm's length away from me. I am a huge proponent of the Self Journal. I love it. It's by bestself.co. There's a ton of positive psychology in it. There's goal setting in it. It is just a brilliantly designed, it's a bunch of designers. It's a bunch of human-centered designers, PS, that designed it. So this is why I'm like shouting from the rooftops, right? They totally had me in mind when they made it. The Self Journal is this amazingly, beautifully designed planner that just grounds me in my day. And it helps me because toward the end of the day, right before I do that transition activity, I'll kind of jot down that couple of notes that I'm going to want to know the next morning when the day kicks off. Maybe it's the couple of things that I don't want to forget to do that day, or a couple of emails that need to be sent. It's just sort of a brain dump to make sure, like, okay, yes, April of tomorrow, I'm setting you up for success. Here are the few things you need to know. Let me read you into the day that you need to accomplish today. So I'll link to that in this episode description, but consider using a really good planner and making that part of your day. I absolutely love the Self Journal for that. All right. So those were my tips around creating boundaries in your day. Again, those are just my tips, but be a designer. Go back to the things that are important to you for this time period as you're working from home, and think about how you might create boundaries in your day to help facilitate the things that are important to you. Okay, I want to hit one. The third thing that I want to hit is actually something that I don't think we ever expected to experience, but I'm hearing about it more and more from people as we're on Zoom and just virtual meetings for so much of our day. I'm talking about Zoom fatigue. It can be exhausting to be on camera for that many hours of the day. And there's a few reasons why. So one of the things that I've heard from people is that seeing their own face can present a lot of issues. So, you know, on Zoom, you can kind of see your own face as you're talking. And what I've heard from some people is that, oh my God, that's just distracting. From other people, I've heard, I just feel like self-critical. I'm watching myself and how I talk, and I'm starting to judge myself and my appearance. That critical nature, that inner voice that just kind of tears us down, gets really loud after I've been staring at myself for so long. Did you know that you can actually hide your own face from the meeting? You don't have to look at yourself. You can keep your camera on if you want to keep it on so that other people can see you, but you don't actually have to look at yourself. So I'm going to link to something in this episode description that shows you how you can hide your own face from your Zoom meeting if you don't want to look at yourself. If you find that you get self-critical, or it just sort of, you know, bums you out, or you just get tired from it or distracted, just hide your face. You don't have to look at yourself. So I'll link to that in the episode description. Second one, especially if you're a leader, so this is for the Peak Mind Pro folks who are listening to this. If you're a leader on a team, set expectations with your team about when they can turn video off. They're some of the best. So in my day job, I'm a consultant. I work with a lot of larger companies. I see a lot of teams, and this is in data science. So I'm not consulting them about how their teams function, but I get to see a lot of the nuances of how teams function. And some of the best ones just have the expectation that you can just turn your camera off. No one says anything. No one bats an eye like, oh, it looks like Julie turned her camera off. No one says a word. It just happens. It's just something you have to do moment to moment once in a while, or even for the whole meeting. No one says a thing. So if you're a leader, consider making that the culture of your team. Consider setting expectations that, no, you can just turn your Zoom camera off if you're just feeling fatigued that day. That small gesture, it'll be amazing at what that does for the morale of your team. And the last one is one that you can sometimes control. You can't always control it. Consider changing your meetings to be 45 minutes instead of 60. I bet you can get done in 45 minutes what used to take you 60, especially if you challenge yourself to get done in 45 minutes and you have to be efficient with your time and stay on task. And what do you do with that extra 15 minutes? You get up and you move. You build in a break. You build in 15 minutes to zone out, to read something that doesn't have to do with work, to do a little bit of yoga, to go for a quick walk, to get something to eat, to refill your water, to take care of yourself. We're going to get to that in a minute. But consider setting your meetings to 45 minutes just to give yourself that periodic 15 minutes to regroup. The last fourth area that I want to hit. It's so easy in these situations where we're working from home and we're back to back and we're on these Zoom meetings and everything's bleeding together. The first thing to go is us taking care of ourselves. That's why way at the beginning of the episode, when I talked about what's important to me, one of the non-negotiables is that I still take care of me during this time. This is a great example of one of, you know, during those times when it gets really busy and things get crazy, the first thing to go is self-care. But when things are busy and crazy, that's when you need it more than ever. I'm just not doing that anymore. I'm not letting that go by the wayside. I'm not a robot. I'm a human being. I need to be taken care of. I need basic needs met in order for me to do my best during the day. And I'm done judging myself because I didn't show up as perfectly as I wanted to because I was hungry and hadn't had a glass of water or a break or just a pause all day long. That's unreasonable. And so I'm done judging myself for that. And I'm also done making myself continue on when those needs have not been met. So self-care is the fourth thing that I want to hit. And the first thing is, and this goes back to last week's episode on January 5th, I talked about this there as well. So again, go back to that episode, but schedule your basic needs. I'm going to call out two in particular. Schedule your lunch, like actually physically put it on your calendar so your calendar is blocked. Block your lunch so that you eat, and block some rest time. We hear a lot of focus and a lot of chatter about sleep, and sleep is important. Don't get me wrong. Sleep is extremely important. But rest is different than sleep. We are not made to be completely immersed in an activity nonstop for 8 hours a day. We don't function well that way. We need a break. We need to disengage once in a while. So build that into your schedule every 60 to 90 minutes. Or if you're following the 45-minute tip, do it the last 15 minutes of every 60-minute meeting or every 60-minute time period because you're only meeting for 45 of it. But schedule in lunch, schedule in rest. The second piece, have a big bottle of water near you. I notice a difference in my day if I have water next to me and I'm just absentmindedly drinking it all day long. The amount of water that goes into my system and how different I feel by the end of the day. It's weird that I don't get that tension headache. Huh, that's strange. It's weird that I don't have a tension headache and then I'm, you know, trying to take care of my kids and you know, do all of the like crazy things that comes with just life in general. I'm so much better able to show up and take care of that because I don't have a headache because I drank enough water that day. So just have a big bottle of water near you. And the last piece, again, with that 15 minutes that you're not in meetings, if you're doing the 45-minute meetings, use it to move. Use it to just move your body. Maybe you're stretching, maybe you're doing some yoga, maybe you're going for a walk. But a little bit of movement, our bodies were meant to move throughout the day. And so that tiredness you're feeling, that sluggishness you're feeling, feeling disengaged, it might just be that you haven't moved your body all day long. So we just went through in those spaces, four areas. We talked about setting up your workspace, creating boundaries in your day, fighting Zoom fatigue, and self-care. And the point is not like just go blindly do the things that I told you. The point is think like a designer, experiment, go back to the first exercise we did around getting to know you and what your values are and what's important to you, and think how might I achieve each of these four areas in a way that is helping me achieve my goals and in alignment with what's important to me. Also, think outside of the four areas that I just gave you. Are there other areas that you need to work on and use the same process? Get to know yourself and what's important to you and ask the question, how might I? Then go experiment and tweak along the way. That's all life design is. It's getting to know you, asking yourself, how might I, so you can generate some options, and then experimenting with them. That's the whole thing. So we just talked about a lot of stuff. I want to wrap up with just a few more materials for you, a few ways that you can kind of take it an offshoot from this episode. So I'll be back in just a second with just a few more resources before we close out this week. All right, guys, before we close out, I want to make sure that we go through a few other resources for you. The first one I want to talk about is, again, the link just to the guide that accompanied last week's episode on 5 life-changing practices. That link, again, and it's linked in the episode description, but it's peakmindpsychology.com/5, F-I-V-E, practices. Go there, get that guide. There's a ton of useful stuff in it. It's amazing. So go grab that guide, linked below. Second, we recently released a blog post called Design Your Way Through 2022. And if you're new to life design, I want you to go check out that post because it does a really good job of giving you a good overview of what life design is, especially from the perspective that we approach it at Peak Mind. So if you're new to it, if you're curious, if you want just a little bit of an introduction, go check out that blog post. It's linked in this episode description as well. Also, I want you to check out episode 314 of the podcast. This is an episode that I did called The Secret to Effective Prioritization. During times like this work from home situation, or when things bleed together, or when things get really busy, or just when you're ready to sort of reevaluate what's important to you in your life, this episode is such a good one to check out because what it asks you to do, prioritization isn't about, you know, trying to pick the most burning platform or trying to be, I guess, optimal and fit everything in. Instead, it's about thinking about what is the most important to you and also what's not important to you during this time. And so I want you to go back and check out that episode because prioritization, I think, sometimes happens in a way that doesn't lead us to actually take things off our plate. And that's ultimately what prioritization is about. And I'm kind of taking you down a rabbit hole now, but if you listen to that episode, there's some amazing supplemental resources that go along with that episode too. So if you want to go down that sort of path as an offshoot from this episode, it's a really good one. And last, one more past podcast episode for you. This is episode 288. It's called Structure Creates Flexibility. I'm actually writing in my self journal on the photo that's in the promo for that episode. Here's the thing. People sometimes make fun of me because of the systems and practices and rigidity of certain aspects of my life. I go to bed at 10. I get up at 5. I do the same thing in the morning. I have a ton of systems and practices that allow the podcast to happen. I mean, just I could go on and on for hours. The thing is, what I noticed is if I have structure in certain parts of my life, that buys me the ability to have flexibility in other areas of my life. Go and listen to that episode because I don't want to go down too much of a rabbit hole right now, but it's a good one to think about when times get really compressed or when there's a lot happening at once. Think about how you might create some structure in order to open up some flexibility in other areas of your life. You'll totally get what I mean if you go check out that episode. Again, it's episode 288 and it's linked below. And the last thing I want to remind you of, again, if you are one of the first 3 people to review the podcast, send me a screenshot of your review. The date on the review needs to be after this episode came out. Send me a screenshot of your review. Send it to info@peakmindpsychology.com. If you're one of the first 3 people to do that for me, you're going to win a free 30-minute life design intensive with me. So if you haven't yet reviewed the podcast, or if it's been a long time since you reviewed the podcast, go drop me a review, take a screenshot, shoot me an email. I would love to chat with you, and I would also be so appreciative because one of my goals this year is to increase the number of reviews on the podcast. All right, you guys, I can do this, right? I can do this quarantine thing. I can do this. 2 weeks, I can do it. And you can do it too. And I hope the resources in this episode helped. I hope they helped you think about what's important to you and also begin to design and experiment your way in a direction that will make your work from home life feel a bit more aligned. And finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet, and I'm so grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I will see you next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.